Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, June 24th, 2013. Certainly going to be the hottest week of the year as we push toward the weekend, 112 perhaps, and up in Phoenix pushing toward the 120 mark. That certainly will qualify for probably an excessive heat warning from the National Weather Service this week. The good news is the gas prices, the lowest. Tucsonans are paying the lowest gas prices of anywhere in the country. So that's good news, about $3.24 a gallon. We are live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream our program so you can hear it at your desk or really anywhere at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we post the program anytime, anywhere, listening, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsonscitizen.com as well. Monday means the Monday Political Face-Off. Our commentator teams today, Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Our kickoff question is the referendum on the medical expansion, Medicaid expansion. Is it best for Arizona? That will be our lead question for Bruce and Paul. Then 30 minutes past the hour, the hottest June on record and how to prevent a heat tragedy. We'll talk with the always thoughtful and informative state health director, Will Humble. He'll be our interview at about 12:30 today. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to call us on the live line, 790-2040. We also invite you to follow us on our Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. And every Monday we do kick things off with the face-off. Today, Bruce Ash is with us, Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Paul and Bruce, how are you gentlemen today?
Good, surviving the heat.
Dandy.
Yeah, doing real well. Paul, did you have a good weekend?
I did. Very lazy. Stayed indoors. Stayed cool. Jumped in the pool.
And I know, Bruce, you were traveling back east and just got really back to Tucson. Welcome to the heat. But where you were in the Midwest, it was hot with humidity.
It was very warm yesterday in St. Louis, in the high 90s. And at about 6:30 last night, that all changed right before the baseball game. It poured. And dropped about 30 degrees, just like it does here in Tucson. It was very refreshing.
Yeah, that's what we're waiting, hoping will happen here within a week or so.
The monsoons, yeah. We need them. I'm looking forward.
Well, the newly formed United Republican Alliance of Principled Conservatives this weekend began circulating petitions aimed at blocking nearly 300,000 low-income Arizonans from joining the state's Medicaid program. Bruce Ash, what do you think of this referendum drive?
Well, people are handling this in a lawful sort of a way, and they're out collecting signatures for this referendum, and, you know, best of luck to them. You know, there's a part of me, though, that is very reluctant to say this. There's way, way too much rhetoric, Republicans against Republicans. This is not something we should split on personalities and split on policies between Republicans. It's one thing to want to go out and get signatures for this referendum. It's quite another thing to have the sort of damaging vitriolic rhetoric which we're hearing conservative Republicans targeting other Republicans.
Yeah, it's really dividing your party.
Well, I don't like it at all, and I think that it's time for people to stop being as bitter. If you're going to go out and you're going to do this referendum, then go out and do it. Shut up and do what you need to do, and then get on with the referendum later on.
Yeah, and Paul, the group needs, well, they need quite a few signatures, 86,000 signatures by September 11th to block the Medicaid expansion until voters could decide the issue November 2014. The problem with trying to gather in the heat of the summer, 86,405, you're going to have to gather several thousand a day.
Yeah, about 1,500 a day by my count, because usually you have to build in about a 20% cushion as well. You need more signatures than the 86,000 because a lot of them will end up being bad for one reason or another. And that's going to be really difficult to do. And, you know, more power to people if they want to go out there and do this. And I'm sure they're going to get paid petitioners as well. They probably need to raise a lot of money for that if it's going to be come to reality. I'm not sure they're going to get on the ballot. And even if they did, there's going to be a court challenge to that because constitutional law basically says in Arizona you can't do an initiative process on an existing budgetary matter. And this is I know Governor Brewer's office considers this a budgetary matter. Now, that's to be determined in court. It could go either way, frankly, as far as I've seen in terms of the research on it. But it's going to have to go through a court challenge as well before you actually have an election. And I think it would be a bad thing for the Arizona if we didn't expand Medicaid. We already had an initiative to expand Medicaid in our own right in Arizona that we hadn't been able to fund over the last number of years because of the recession. By expanding Medicaid through the federal program, we are able to fund what we actually passed a number of years back in the state program. And so I think, frankly, I don't know why these people are doing it. And the other thing I would say, Bill, is this passed with a coalition of Governor Brewer, Republican governor, all the Democrats in the legislature. They should get some credit for this too. But I give a lot of credit to those 14 Republican legislators who took political courage to do what they were doing because they were being threatened with having to face a primary the next time and a lot of vitriol, as Bruce had said, from the right. And I commend those 14 legislators for being part of the coalition to get this passed. And, you know, if I was going to write a Profiles in Courage book, I'd write it about those 14.
Well, many of those 14 will find themselves in primaries in the upcoming 14 election. And I think what will happen as a result, and many people share this observation, is that we'll have a more conservative, not a less conservative legislature. And I'm not sure that this one piece of legislation is going to lead to any long-term harmony between the two parties. Essentially, these Republicans, along with the Republican governor, they got a Democrat issue passed by the legislature. And I hope that this group is successful getting their signatures. I'd like to see this on the ballot. I think the majority of Arizonans are against this expansion of Obamacare in Arizona. Either way, however, there'll be lawsuits either from the Goldwater Institute or Americans for Prosperity. And that's, look, everybody's doing what they need to do in order to protect their interests. I just don't like the name-calling that's going on right now.
Bill, This is good for business, but I disagree with Bruce that the Arizona public is going to reject this even if it made the ballot. And the reason is because they passed a similar initiative a number of years back to expand Medicaid to these people under Arizona law. And we just have not been able to fund it properly because of the recession. The federal money that's coming in under this Medicaid expansion is the way we can fund what we already passed a number of years back in an initiative process. So I think the Arizona public will support it.
It's borrowed money, Paul. That's the problem. And the second problem, and this is just as big, I think, is that we have a constitutional amendment, Proposition 108, that does not allow the legislature to pass any kind of a tax increase without a two-thirds majority. And I think in a very clever and a very cunning sort of a way, this tax was passed, but it was passed in a way without the required two-thirds majority. And I think that's ultimately...
Bruce is right. There's going to be a court decision on this. But let me tell you, for years now, since we've had this two-thirds provision, Arizona has been increasing fees, like vehicle fees and things like that, and because they're fees and not taxes, to pay for things that are required by the budget. And so we're gonna it'll be an interesting court case. Let's put it that way. You get an interpretation of what the word tax means and what the word fees means,
because
we've been skirting that issue for a long time now, since in 98 when that two-thirds vote requirement had passed by initiative.
The difference, though, Paul, between fees and a tax is that these are private hospitals who are charging this fee, and then it ends up getting paid as a tax to the state government. In the other cases that you mentioned, whether they be, you know, license plates or, you know, different sorts of fees that we pay the government, that's an entirely different issue.
Well, it's semantics. It's semantics, and it'll be interesting to see what a court would say about it.
And the the Goldwater Institute is looking at this, reviewing whether the levy is a tax and not an assessment, as the governor has contended. And so that will be very interesting to see whether the Goldwater Institute moves forward with a lawsuit. Let's take a break right here. When we come back with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, immigration moving to the front burner probably in the Senate this week. Is it do or die time for the Republican Party? We'll be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and 3 juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. If you haven't been by, I strongly suggest drop by. They've got a really fantastic selection of course, frames, but they also have some really nice art. It's an art gallery along with really specializing in all their fine framing needs. We've been talking about the referendum on Medicare, the petition drive that is now underway. Let's go to Terry on the Buckmaster Show live line. Terry, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
And excuse me. And Paul and Bruce, you two okay?
Yep, we're doing good, Terry.
Very good, thank you. This is a big event here. This is not fly-by-night operations that this president wants us to close our eyes and make this come true, wish come true. Immigration is a big thing for the young dreamers. The dreamers want to become citizens, also, be able to go to their school and graduate. Pathway to citizenship, the 11-plus million in so-called shadow, could overburden us here in Arizona. The governor forgets that once they become free and become citizens, they're going to go to those four or five states who are on the borders. Arizona, I won't mention them, too many to mention, but and they can cloud this state pretty much from red state to blue state real quick. And the president's smart. I don't care what you Republicans think about this president. One thing he is, he's way overheads over the Republicans intelligent-wise, that he is predicting this is going to happen, that these two things will work together. Okay. The immigration bill and the health care, Obamacare, will meet together and somehow they be free to go on their passage to freedom and liberty for okay. all to go in these five states and become citizens and taxpayers and all of a sudden become Democrats, registered voters.
All right,
thank
Terry.
You, Bruce. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Terry obviously has some issues with with the immigration reform, which is this is the big week for one of the big weeks, I guess, for the so-called Gang of Eight as immigration debate goes to the Senate.
It's kind of weird to me what's happening right now, where in the Senate they've had to add amendments to bolster even more of the border than what it is already.
The border security,
and it's going to cost $30 billion to do it, 20,000 new border agents. You might call it a Republican jobs program, the Republicans' version of a jobs program, which may not be a bad thing in stimulating the economy, but we are going to militarize the border doing this, and it's going to cost us a lot of money. I hope people understand that this is going to cost us a lot of money. These same Republicans are the ones that are complaining about the deficits, and I understand that. But let's be realistic. This is going to cost a lot of money if we go this route. And even then, I'm not sure that's going to pull enough Republican votes in the House to get this thing passed. In terms of pathway to citizenship, I mean, there's a lot of hoops these people are going to have to go through before they can become a citizen. And it's a hard road. But the key to this is getting the 11 million people here that aren't here legally out of the shadows and into our mainstream, working here legally, paying taxes, and working their way toward citizenship. I don't think the Republicans should be so scared of these people becoming citizens, because frankly, if they start talking to these people on the issues they care about, the Hispanic community is a pretty moderate centrist community in terms of their politics, and the Republicans can appeal to them just as good as Democrats. There isn't any reason why, except for this immigration debate, that has driven Hispanics away from the Republican Party, that the Republicans can't compete for their vote in the future if they can get this issue behind us. And the only way that's going to happen is if we get a real immigration reform bill passed. And frankly, I just don't think it's going to happen this year.
This thing, Bruce Ash, continues to grow. I mean, what isn't it, 2,100 pages now?
A pox on both of our houses. If this immigration reform measure is about who can get the Hispanic vote, we are doing this for all of the wrong reasons. And Paul Eckerstrom and everybody else of the Democratic Party and all of the goofballs in my Republican Party, the more they keep talking about elections and winning votes and appealing to Hispanics and blah, 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 this is absolutely the wrong reason to make legislation. It is foolish. Now we see that there are elements of the president's stimulus bill that are in this thing. The president was issued a very, very severe blow on and liberals in general on the farm bill, which was really sidetracked by Republicans in the House over the amount of food stamp support. There's a big battle about that. We're seeing some of that overflow into this debate. This is bad legislation, and Paul, this is the federal government. Remember, these are the guys that, you know, Ronald Reagan said, the 9 most dangerous words in the English language, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. These are the people, these are the people that we're giving more power, and why can't they do as is trying to happen in the House right now, to do specific parts of this immigration issue in order to maximize our economy, in order to give regularization of those immigrants who are here in this country to legally work. Well, if this is about elections, wrong reason. We already have law on the books. We could tweak that law and make sure that we fix this thing, but this is going to be some kind of a broad sweeping thing. Wrong.
I don't disagree that politics shouldn't be driving this policymaking, and I think to an extent it's helping create, I don't necessarily think this is good policy, what's happening in this particular bill. I think it's better than what we got now, but I'm not sure it's good to pass right now.
Enforce the laws that are there now and fix it with things to regularize workers that are already here.
But I disagree with Bruce in terms of what the House is doing. If the House had their way, the Republicans in the House had their way, they would just pass the $30 billion and 20,000 more agents on the border and not fix anything else.
No, that's wrong,
Paul. I think their mantra has been border security. That's all we need to do is shut down the border. And by the way, 20,000 more border agents isn't going to shut down the border. I guarantee you those people that want to come here for jobs.
It would double the size of the border.
No, it would double the size, but we wouldn't solve the problem.
Here's the problem, Paul and Bill. It's not just the borders. It's the internal enforcement as well. It's all the people who overstay, you know, their visas and student permits and so on. You know, 60% of the people who are here in this country illegally are here through those means. We get distracted by the border. We get distracted by this whole Hispanic argument that's being made by both sides. Everybody's wrong about this. And every time we see a political victory in an election that is driving public policy, we see stupid things being done. And frankly, I commend our members of the House, our Republican members of the House here in Arizona, because I think they see this the way it needs to be seen. I'm not feeling so comfortable about our two Republican senators who are obviously driven by partisan concerns on this.
Well,
and I wish they wouldn't be. And I wish they wouldn't be so vocal and so visible and so transparent about the whole thing. It's embarrassing.
Well, I do think this is in the political calculus of this. If the Republicans kill this bill in the House, it's going to have repercussions. It's going to reverberate back onto them some more. They're going to have a real problem with the Hispanic community going forward for a generation, and they're not going to be able to get the votes they should be getting out of that community. And because of that, they may very well be regulating themselves to a minority party in the future. And, you know, we'll see what happens politically with this. But, you know, something does need to be done.
Everybody said the same about the Democrat Party in 2004.
It needs to be a comprehensive bill that deals with all aspects of immigration and not just the border. And if the Republicans block this attempt it's going to hurt them politically in the future.
Could it be the end of the Republican Party? As some have, well, they've been saying that this is the party's
future. Democrats
wish
it would be the end of the Republican Party. And we thought that the 2004 election, as many Democrats thought, that, you know, that would be the end of the Democrat Party. And look what happened in 2008. No, it's not. And, you know, there's going to be factions, you know, within both parties that end up deciding this. So Paul Eckersom, don't get too excited. Republicans aren't going away. I think we'll end up being more conservative at the end of the day.
Thank you very much, Paul and Bruce. I hope both of you have a great week.
Okay. Hey, you too.
Thanks a lot. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama says the U.S. is following all legal channels on how to bring NSA leaker Edward Snowden back to the U.S. Says the administration is working with other countries to make sure that the rule of law is followed. Meanwhile, officials in Ecuador give powerful hints that Snowden would be welcome there. Right now, we're still not sure exactly where Snowden is, although he may still be in Russia. Firefighters say they really could use some heavy rains or some other major changes in the weather to stop an erratic blaze that's raging through the drought-stricken woodlands of southwestern Colorado. Updating Wall Street, the key average is still in the red, although off their lows for the day. The Dow's down about 89 points, the NASDAQ 27 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Yavi is a 30.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:30 here in Arizona. In fact, I would not be at all surprised if the National Weather Service issues an extreme heat advisory for this upcoming weekend as temperatures push toward the 120-degree mark in Phoenix and here in Tucson at least 112. This is deadly weather, and it's weather that we really need to be cautious about and take precautions. Will Humble is the Arizona Health Director, and he joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from Phoenix. Mr. Humble, how are you today?
Hey, real good. Thanks. Good afternoon.
This is going to be a hot week, isn't it?
Yeah, there's always one super hot week before the monsoon comes in. I think the hot weather actually sucks the moisture up from the Gulf of California, at least that's the way I heard it. So it looks like we're really in for it for the next few days.
We really do need to take precaution. And for folks that think that this cannot be, you can't die from this, yes, you can. During 2011, 84 people suffered heat-associated deaths in Maricopa County. 52 had lived in Arizona 20 years or more, according to a Maricopa County report. So that shows that even if you've been here a while, it's good to talk about what you should be doing. Correct, Will?
Well, yeah, and I think folks that are natives or that have been here a long time get a false sense of security by thinking, well, I'm a desert rat, so it's not going to hit me. It's all those foreigners that come here from Ohio and stuff, but you're absolutely right. It hits everybody. If you look at the demographics on who it hits the hardest, at least in Arizona, folks that get heat-related illnesses and that actually die tend to be guys over the age of 40. Three-quarters of our deaths every year are in that demographic, guys from 40 on up.
Well, there are certain things that we should be doing, of course, wearing sunscreen, using sunglasses, trying to eat right, avoid foods with too much salt, which can cause dehydration and bloating. And then there's this big one, drink plenty of water. And I'm guilty of this myself, and I am one of those guys over 40. You just don't, in this kind of heat, you may not be thirsty, but you need the water, correct, Mr. Humble?
Well, that's right. And by the time you are thirsty, you're already dehydrated. So if you're thirsty, that's a sign you're already on the way downhill. The whole key is to stay so that you're not thirsty all summer. Stay hydrated. I've got my liter jug right here at my desk. I'm looking at it right now. This time of year at work, I'm drinking three of these at work, and I drink some more water at home. Over the weekend, it was quarterly pickup, bulk pickup in Phoenix, so I was taking stuff out to the street, build my big, refuse pile out by the road, and I probably drank a gallon and a half of water yesterday, just staying hydrated, and I feel fine today.
What are some of the signs of dehydration, Will Humble?
Like I just said, the first sign is thirst itself. That's the first sentinel sign of dehydration. So that's really the first thing to pay attention to. If you're thirsty and if you're outside, that's a signal that right now, get inside and get hydrated. And by the way, you can get dehydrated really fast. In other words, the water will pour out of your cells and through perspiration really quickly and get you real dehydrated real fast. But it takes a lot longer to get rehydrated. So the whole key is to avoid that downhill path of thirst, and then the next stage is sort of, dizziness, could be that your heart palpitations, that kind of stuff, could be nausea, Those are sort of the heat exhaustion phases, and then as you get closer to sunstroke, you know, your skin gets actually hot, and you stop sweating, and that's a real dangerous sign. But the first thing to look for is that, you know, if you're thirsty, you know, you've already kind of blown it.
And check on your neighbors. If your neighbor's window is open and it's 115 degrees outside, that is a sure sign that there may be a problem with the air conditioning. So, and especially some of our elderly friends, I think it's good to check on the neighbors. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's a good thing to do anyway. I think we've kind of lost that in some neighborhoods, that sense of community. It's a good thing to do, is to check on your neighbors for lots of different reasons, but it's even more important in the middle of the summer. But you're absolutely right.
Will Humble is with us talking about going to be a very hot week in Arizona. I want to move on to a story that played in all of the Arizona papers over the weekend, Will, and it's about the doctor shortage that is likely to get worse in Arizona. Right now, we do have a chronic shortage, don't we, of primary care physicians?
Well, we have a chronic shortage, especially in the rural parts of the state. Not so much in the Valley or in the core of Tucson, but the real crisis in terms of, you know, access to care and having enough physicians and physician assistants and nurse practitioners and other primary care folks is out there in the rural parts of the state. And as the Affordable Care Act comes online and there's more and more folks with health insurance, and by the way, with Medicaid expansion, you know, there's going to be a increased demand on that short supply of primary care physicians. So it's been a chronic problem in Arizona that we expect to probably, get worse over the next couple of years. But there's a lot of other aspects to the Affordable Care Act that also will sort of play into the full array of services. And by that, I mean, the accountable care organizations that are coming on board have real incentives to make sure that folks don't enter the emergency department when it's unnecessary. And that also relies on primary care docs, as well as nurse practitioners and RNs, to keep people healthier in their communities. There's going to be an increased emphasis on that as well. So I think you're going to see more in-home care and hopefully less hospitalization as the Affordable Care Act rolls out.
Will Humble is with us, the state health director for Arizona. And when I posted on my Facebook page that you were going to be our guest, one of our Facebook friends wanted me to ask you, what is your opinion of the continuing, it seems like, more and more reliance on the nurse practitioners? How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm a real practical guy, basically. And the fact of the matter is, we don't have enough primary care docs in our state to meet the demand, and especially this increasing demand that we're going to be seeing over the next few years as a result of more folks having insurance. And so I think it's inevitable that we're going to start to see nurse practitioners play an increasingly important role in the system. So if I remember, the question you asked me is how I feel about it.
Yes, how do you feel? And that was a question.
The way I feel about it is whatever works. You know, obviously, it would be great if we had more primary care physicians, MDs and the like out there, but there's no doubt about it. You know, nurse practitioners are going to play an increasingly important role. And given the fact that we have a shortage, I think it's, you know, I'm not going to stand in the way.
One of our callers now to the Buckmaster Show live line has a question about medical marijuana. I think we're ready with Sheldon. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Thank you, Bill. Director Hummel, there have been some articles that what's the timeline for medical marijuana dispensaries like to open up in Tucson? I myself have tried to keep up with the issue generally, and monthly there are articles pro or con as to the health effects of the use of medical marijuana. But let me ask you, are you on the timeline, and will there be any public forums about the introduction of medical marijuana?
Okay, go ahead, Will Humble.
Yeah, thanks. A good question. So we actually have in Arizona 33 operating dispensaries right now. There's several in the Tucson area and in the southeast part of the state. If you remember back to August of 2012, we issued 97 registration certificates for dispensaries. And so if everybody gets their dispensary up and running in the one-year time frame that we gave them, then we'd have 97 dispensaries by August 7th of 2013. My guess is that at least 20 to 30 of those certificate holders will not be able to get their dispensary up and running within that first year. So my guess is that by August 7th, which is the deadline for this first round, we're probably going to have, I'd say, 60 dispensaries up and running. At that point, the law requires us to take a look at the number of dispensaries we have up and running and then compare that to the number of dispensaries that is at the cap. In other words, the voter-approved law capped the number of dispensaries at 126. So let's say we have half of that up and running. Then we'd issue a new round of certificates at the, and I'll announce that at some point towards the end of 2013. And then early 2014, we'll do another round of dispensary applications to get up to that 126 quota.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, Sheldon also was asking about what the health director, Mr. Humble, feels about health benefits of marijuana. We'll pick up on that after we take a break. This is the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. If you'd like to ask the health director, Will Humble of Arizona, any questions, please call in. We'll be right back.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Sharon, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday edition. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. If you're looking for a place to cool off this weekend, may I suggest a drive 3.5 hours east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Elevation, around a mile high to about 7,000 feet. That sounds really good right about now. So much to do in historic Silver City, including their upcoming Hummingbird Festival, July 19th through the 21st. And their big event of the year is the Clay Festival, July 27th to August 4th. Plenty of good, great places to stay, including Bear Mountain Lodge, Cottage of Whispering Canyon, and Continental Divide RV Park. You can find out more about southwestnewmexico.org. That's southwestnewmexico.org. Will Humble is the Arizona Department of Health Services Director. He is with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. We've been talking about the doctor shortage here in Arizona, talking about the upcoming heat wave. Hopefully it will be the last week of this kind of excessive heat before the monsoon sets in. We're also talking about the use of medical marijuana. Director Humble, one of the things caller Sheldon asked is your opinion on the health benefits of marijuana. What do you think?
Well, my opinion is that that's really a conversation for patients and doctors. You know, it's a legal option in Arizona. I've heard anecdotal stories of folks who really believe that it's helped them manage either their chronic medical condition or help them during their chemotherapy, et cetera. But the important thing, the important take-home message is that the best place to have a conversation about medical marijuana is between a patient and their primary care physician. And that's one of the things that we're really working on at the state level here is to build the level of awareness among Arizona physicians about medical marijuana and what the evidence is so that they're in a better position to have an intelligent conversation with their patients. You know, one of the things that we're facing with this medical marijuana law is that the vast majority of physicians, especially the MDs, went through medical school and residency and never really had any exposure to marijuana and, you know, where marijuana fits in terms of managing patients, chronic medical conditions, et cetera. So given that, you know, this is Arizona law now, one of the things we're really focusing on throughout the rest of 2013 and into 14 is to build better awareness among physicians with continuing medical education, et cetera, so that conversation is happening, you know, with actual primary care docs and physicians. One of the things that we're seeing at the state level is that you know, many of the, if not the vast majority of the certifications for medical marijuana are happening among medical marijuana certification specialists. And one of the things we're trying to do is to try to move conversations back into the primary care office and not necessarily having folks having that conversation only happen in a medical marijuana certification specialist office.
But as you point out, it is kind of an education process for the primary care docs, isn't it, to really to kind of catch up on what exactly does this 2010 law allow for? Is that the case? It's an education process, isn't it?
Right. Well, yeah, so there's two things. One is the administrative piece, which is the nuts and bolts of how does the act work? What are the expectations that we have for certifying physicians? You know, what are the mechanics of how the program works? And that continuing medical education has been up and running for about a year now. It's an online course that we have, and we actually developed with the U of A College of Public Health. Moving forward into 13 and 14, we're going to start building more depth into the conversation with physicians and actually having some continuing medical education forums on, you know, where medical marijuana can fit in the management of patient chronic pain. So the forums that we're talking about aren't going to be specifically about medical marijuana, but we're going to look at severe and chronic pain as a whole and take it from the full spectrum of, you know, things like, you know, biofeedback and acupuncture to, you know, things like ibuprofen and other pain relievers, medical marijuana somewhere in the middle, and then at the top end of the scale are the opiates, like OxyContin and others, which is honestly creating a huge problem in Arizona in terms of the number of folks that die from overdoses of opiates. In fact, more folks die from opiate overdoses in Arizona than car crashes. It's going to set people back a little bit when they hear that, but this prescription drug misuse and abuse problem is a real public health crisis, not just in Arizona, but across the whole country.
Well, that is one of the reasons, Will Humble, that we decided on this program every month, usually the first Tuesday of the month, we bring in Dr. Ray Woosley, who founded the Critical Path Institute here in Tucson and now has a service called CredibleMeds.com or .org. And we talk about all these issues with medications. And the average American right now is on 7 different prescription drugs. It's unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah. So
and above, and you must have spent some time on this painkiller.
Well, that was our topic.
You know.
Yeah, that was our topic last month, and we're picking it up again next Tuesday at 12:45 about these dangers of like OxyContin and all these other pain medications.
Yeah, Americans take more opiate painkillers than the rest of the world combined. Think about that for a minute.
Wow. You know, getting back
kind of
to
blows you away. We're about 5% of the world's population, and we're way on top in terms of opiate consumption.
And my citing 7 different prescription medications, usually that is for people, I think, over, I don't remember whether it's over 60 or over 50, but definitely people are on a lot of prescription medications. There's no doubt about it. Getting back to the medical marijuana, what is your latest count on how many cardholders there are right now, state-issued cardholders?
Well, I'll have to speak in rounded numbers, but I think we have about 38,000 qualified patients right now, and that's been pretty steady, really, over the last 12 months or so. You know, we have new patients coming online all the time, and then we have patients who used to have cards that are not upping their renewals, so we're kind of at a steady state around 38,000 right now.
Is there a cap on that? Does the law?
No, it can be. No, the cap is on the number of dispensaries, and so we're capped at 126 in regard to that. But there could be as number of however many qualified patients that physicians believe would benefit from medical marijuana.
And at this point, they are allowed with the state-issued card to obtain up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana every 2 weeks?
Right. That's the amount they can buy from a dispensary. The issue that we have right now is that, you know, because the dispensaries didn't get up and running right away because of the various legal challenges, et cetera, most folks have been authorized to cultivate 12 of their own plants. And those of you out there that are listening know that a robust crop of 12 plants grown properly indoors with hydroponics is way more than 2.5 ounces every 2 weeks. So, you know, the supply is higher than that for the self-growers. but the dispensary amount is capped at 2.5 every 2 weeks.
Okay. Will Humble, we're going to let you go. Try to stay cool. It sounds like you're certainly on the right path. Drinking, you've got your gallon of water there right with you. It's good. Good advice. Will, thanks for talking with us.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Will Humble, the director of the Arizona Health Services Department. We appreciate his time on what is going to be a really serious week as far as the heat is concerned. Speaking of water, bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Bottled water, pure and simple. Boy, there couldn't be a better time right now to have a bottle of Culligan water in front of you. Culligan, for all your residential and commercial water needs. Coming up this afternoon on the Monday edition of the John C. Scott Show, John is on from 3 to 5 right here Monday through Friday on KVOI. Then tomorrow morning it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe with the Wake Up Tucson Show from 6 to 8 a.m. And we'll be back tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show at 12:04. Hope you have a great day. Thank you.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.